Good evening. Greetings from Uganda. We usually say Uganda is the power of Africa. And if you want to know something about it, you need to come and see it yourself. And so, but thank you, Pastor Shadow, Pastor Shiberi, for the opportunity to speak. It's a lot that God does in a year that you can't even in your mind try to trace. It's a lot. But there is this one story of a student that we have now that comes from Chad. Chad is Central Africa. We are in East Africa. Chad is Central Africa. And you know there are so many wars around Central Africa. 2 years ago, he heard about a Bible school in Kampala. He saved his money and went to Cameroon because there are no flights in Chad. Went to Cameroon, bought his ticket. But on the day he's supposed to come, he got sick. So he missed the flight. But he didn't give up. He had to remain in Cameroon and then worked for another year and then saved money. Then last year he was able to get money, bought a ticket. This time he was early at the airport. He made sure he was okay. And now he's in a Bible school. Amazing young man. And all that he's thinking about is grace and finished work to be in Chad. So pray for him. Amen. And so briefly, 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. This is a story about Mephibosheth and David's kindness, King David. Verse 7 he said, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Verse 13, the Bible says, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." One more scripture, Luke chapter 14. Verse 13, Luke 14, 13. "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Father, we thank you for your grace upon us. We thank you for your love. We ask you, Lord, that you just speak to our hearts. We thank you for your loving kindness that is shown. Thank you for this table. In Jesus' name, amen. I would briefly just want to share with you about an open table. An open table is a table that is opened for everyone. In the world, their tables are not opened for everybody. They are open according to social status. If you are rich, you are welcome to a certain table, and the rich, of course, cannot sit with the poor. In other places, for example, like in Africa, it's according to tribes. This tribe, if you are my tribe, we can sit together. If you are not my tribe, there's no much I can get from you. So you can see that in the world, not everyone is welcomed at the tables that are set there for them. But with Christ, everyone is what? Is welcome. Everyone is what? Is welcome. The poor, the lame, the crippled, everyone is welcome at this table. It's an open table for everybody. But it's amazing that on this table you have the poor, you have the lame, you have the crippled, you have the blind, and you have Jesus Christ sitting on the table with such people. This is a group of people. When you look at that group of people, you look at them and you think there is no future. It's like, what kind of group is this? They have no eyes. They are poor. They can't walk. They are crippled. And Jesus Christ says, I think this is the group I like. Huh? This is the group I like. And he, not only that, when you read Luke chapter 15, verse 2, he actually eats with them at the same table. This is not in anywhere in the world. It's not anywhere in the world. And the world can look at sometimes, and that's how we came in. I mean, we came in poor, lame, crippled, but we were accepted because the table was open for us. And we were sitting with him and eating with him. The world sees us, they may say, these are crippled people. They don't think well. But Jesus Christ will say, you may say they are lame, but I'm their legs. You may say that they are poor, I'm their riches. You know, you may say that they are crippled, but I'm the reason why they are whole. You can't see that unless you come to this table that is open. We have the table is widely open, and we thank God for that. On this table, there is a menu. It's a good menu. Usually in Africa, the menu, we know it by hair because we don't serve that much. It's matoke, portion, and beans. I can also serve in a restaurant. The menu is in the mind. But here in the States, it's different. You go to a restaurant, they bring like three menus. And sometimes I ask Pastor Ronaldo, I say, when they bring them, I say, you need to help me. Because I don't know everything that is, the list is long. But that's the same thing on the menu of Jesus Christ, on the table. What is on the table, the menu is good. This is the word of God. Sweet, the Bible says, Jeremiah, he says it is sweet. Jeremiah 15, 16. Sweet. There is a sweet stuff on the table. Matthew 4, 4. We eat it. It is sweet. We find it there. We find the grace of God. The solid food that causes us to grow. We find it there. Jeremiah 31. The children of Israel found it in the wilderness. They find that food at the table in the wilderness and made them strong. And we find the best fruit, love. We find it there. Galatians 5. We find it there. It's on the menu. And we eat, and when we eat, we become strong. And then our inabilities are swallowed by his ability. Our poverty is swallowed up by his riches of grace, because we are sitting at that table that is open, wide open. And this table, God knows how to, sometimes he sets it. The Bible says in Psalms 23, verse 5, he can set it in the midst, in the presence of your enemies. Huh? It's okay to have enemies. Sometimes we pray that they go away, but it is okay that they remain, because in their presence, God sets what? Table. And the reason why he sets it right there in their presence before you is that you may eat on this fruit called love. And when you love, he said, Jesus Christ said, he said, if you love those that love you, what benefit is it? So you need to love your enemies, he said. That's why he sets it there. And then your enemy can see, the enemy can see in Psalms 23 verse 5 how anointed you are. It's amazing, God anoints the poor, the lame, the crippled. He anoints them. You know? And so he puts it there. He allowed Judas to sit on the open table. He didn't say, get out. I know you're going to betray me. He sit here. There's something you have to see. The love. And he did. He can set it there in the midst of your enemies. He can also set it in the wilderness. Most difficult situations. When you are in those difficult situations, that's the best place that where God has set the table. And what is there? What do you find there? The same thing the children of Israel found. They found grace in the wilderness because the table was set for them, well furnished in the wilderness. You find it there. And so we thank God for the open table. Everyone is welcome. That's why we keep on coming here. The reason why we keep on coming here is because the table here is wide open for us. And whenever we come here, we eat, we are eating, and we go back, and we also feed other people. We come, we go. Thank God that in our lives we have continued. Why? Because so many people have not closed tables on us. They have kept on saying, come, sit. Let's eat. Let's have fellowship. There's this love. There's this forgiveness. And so we thank God. Continue to pray for the work in East Africa as we continue to pray for you. May God bless you.
If you would stand with me and change positions and turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Excuse me. Two verses here. Just want to maybe, and I was thinking about praying and preaching this afternoon, and I think with the table that he was talking about, the love of God, love needs to be the foundation in my prayer life, that God loves me and I love him. And I think it's good to talk to somebody you love. Amen. And I think it's good to speak to other people about someone you love. So really, preaching and praying have a great foundation of love. So Ephesians 6 says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer. And this interesting, there's like four different words that are used here. And if you study this sometime, it's really amazing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. A lot of alls there, all and always. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, thank you. Pray, thank you for this ministry. Thank you for Pastor Schaller and the leadership, the elders, the trustees, the body of Christ, the pastors, members in particular, God, the arms and the hands, the feet. We thank you for this great opportunity we have in June, July, and August to be praying to the throne of grace and to be speaking to people about one who loves them. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I did a FaceTime. You know what FaceTime is? I've learned something, you know, about technology, and it's been very helpful. I did a FaceTime Bible study in Marrakesh, Morocco, and with 8 believers. They're Greater Grace, too, all the way. They've been, like, hearing messages for, like, 15, 16 years. And I was really amazed. I was speaking to them, and then after I spoke with the leader, his name is Yosef, and he said to me, I have a surprise for you. He said, there's a man that you and Pastor Steve Murillo witnessed to 18 years ago. He's here. His name is Nordin. He used to be an imam. You know what that is? A mosque teacher. Teacher in the mosque. And he got converted. And because there was so much pressure, family-wise and in the country-wise, he had to flee. But somehow, after all these years, he's come back. And he was telling me that this man has such a grasp on the nature of God and God's life. After all these years with nobody, just with nobody, but with the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Amen? And to me, that was like, wow, that was exciting to me. I wanted to skip around my room and dance up a storm just in the afternoon, you know? But I didn't, you know, I got a bad left leg, so I did a couple hops and steps and things like that. But that to me was incredible. And I was thinking about these two as we look at this summer, and we think about our prayer meetings especially, and any one of them that you can make, it would be a blessing. Sunday night from 8:30 to 9:30 after service. On Tuesday night after outreach from 8:30 to 9:30. Tuesday morning at staff meeting, we have prayer. Is it 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning usually, right? Nine? I don't even know. Nine to 10. Okay, 9 to 10. Wednesday night after church is going to be a prayer meeting. Thursday night after outreach, a prayer meeting. Friday night after Bible college class, Philippians, prayer meeting. Saturday, 12:30 to 1:30, prayer meeting. 7 prayer meetings a week. And obviously, people pray in their homes, and that's awesome. So I'm not saying that people have to come, but it's going to be a time where it's available for us to pray as a body. We heard a lot about the body of Christ this morning from Ephesians, and just praying together with people. It's such a strengthening opportunity for all of us. I know this is so key. So those prayer meetings, and then the Tuesday night, Thursday night outreaches, and then we have one Friday at 11 o'clock, 11:15, and then we go out on Saturdays and Friday nights with the youth. Friday nights, right, Pastor Love? Yeah, Friday nights. So great opportunities. And really sometimes, sure, there's a little bit of that intensity of fear, but perfect love casts out fear. And I just go and I'm with somebody and I can speak to somebody. But when he was speaking this morning about Acts chapter 11, And I noticed that in Acts 11, they saw the grace of God. Amen? You remember that? They saw grace. And the word is edo. They experienced grace. And then I love the verses that follow it. It says, much people were added and much people were taught. Isn't that great? Say that. Much people added and much people were taught. That's grace. And that's amazing. So we have an opportunity. And praying and preaching. And Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication and with perseverance. And for me, he says, and pray for me, and that I would have an open mouth to bring this gospel message to people. Preaching and praying. Spurgeon said they're the two most, and don't get upset about this, but I'm just saying, he said in churches, they're the two most unattended meetings of any church. Evangelistic outreach and a prayer meeting. He said those are, in his experience, I'm not saying they're our experience, but in his experience, they're very much unattended meeting. Talking to God about people and talking to people about God. It's amazing. And the emphasis, if you look at the book of Acts, is really incredible. I just was studying and looking through it today. In Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, you know what they were doing? What do you think they were doing? Praying and preaching. Acts 4, 31 through 34, what were they doing? James Bryson, they were what? Praying and preaching. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Acts 5, 42. Acts 6, 4. Praying and preaching. Acts chapter 9, praying and preaching. Acts 11, 19 through 26, praying and preaching. Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. As they ministered to the Lord by prayer and fasting, the Spirit says, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. Praying and preaching. Acts 15, Acts 16, Acts 17. Read through the book of Acts is amazing. It's all about praying and preaching. Now, one thing is interesting about prayer, especially in what we would call sophisticated and technically advanced cultures. We can just do everything, can't we? Aren't we good at everything? There's a computer system for everything. I don't even know what they call those things, but I don't know. My granddad laughs at me because I don't have a cell phone. I don't know how to use it if I had it anyway. I don't give it any space in my brain. There's only so much space in the brain, so I want to keep certain things out. So what an opportunity, preaching and praying. And so this opportunity to speak to God, just to pray to God, to talk with God. It's not something like, you know, and we think about problems. I think about problems in my own life and things that I face and the cares of your life and the cares of the ministry. And oftentimes we venture in to everything but a simple what? A simple prayer. Just a simple prayer. God, I like David's prayer in Psalm 12. Help, Lord. Yasha is the Hebrew word. He screams it out. It's in an imperative language. Help! For the grace man ceases and the faithful fail from the children of men. When I think about raising a family, when we think about situations at work, when we think about all the religions in this world, when we think about the trials and the tests and the difficulties and the mountains and all the things that are going on, just giving myself to simply praying to God. I think sometimes God is just kind of waiting for me to pray. And maybe he actually holds back with all of my sophisticated ways of solving problems. He goes, that's great. I really love you. But I would just simply like you to pray. And just ask me, Psalm 2. Ask of me. And I think it's so important because it's one of the things I'm probably not going to be too excited about on a weekly basis. Preaching and praying. But yet they so much go together and they so much are one and it's so important, so important. There was one story, when Pastor Sam got up, it reminded me of a story. One time, I think I've told the story, but it's okay. I'll tell it again because it's relevant. One day I went to the post office because I was waiting for some mail, obviously. And I had no money and no support. It was like support just wasn't coming. And you know the mail system in Uganda, right? Huh? You know what I mean? Somebody sends something and you get it a month later. And you know, it's okay. That's the way it is in some places. And I'm sitting there and I'm like really like not happy. I'm not a happy person. I'm just sitting there at the post office, sitting there and like a little bit discouraged, a little bit saying to myself like, you know, maybe I should just go home. Maybe I should go back to the States. Maybe this is ridiculous. Is this God anyway? Of course, you've never had those thoughts, have you? Is this God? Is this God really? I don't know. I don't even know. Is this God? And then I heard some music. Amazing grace, how sweet. And I'm thinking it wasn't even as well-sounding as I was singing it. And I heard the song, and I'm thinking, wow, what's that? And I walked around the corner, and I saw two men singing Amazing Grace with gospel tracks in my depressed, discouraged attitude, bad attitude. One guy was blind, and the other guy had no legs. The blind guy carried the guy with no legs. This is a true story. I don't know if you've ever seen those two men. Have you seen them? See, don't think I'm just telling stories. You've seen those two guys, right? A guy with no legs, and he is being carried by the blind man. So he's the eyes for the blind man. And the other guy is the legs for the guy with no legs. And they're just singing there with their gospel tracks. And here's me, depressed about money. And these guys with no eyes and no legs. And they're Amazing Grace. That's incredible. It's incredible. And they were praying and what? Preaching. Preaching and praying. We have opportunities in neighborhoods this year, this summer, every Tuesday and Thursday night to go out. And even if we're fumbling with our lips and stumbling and drooling and we make no sense. Remember the first time I went on evangelism was January 6, 1976. I went out with the Bible and the first person I met, I said, could I talk to you? They said, about what? I said, about the Bible. I said, what about it? I said, I don't know. I really don't know anything about it. I just know that something happened to me tonight. And I got changed. And I was in the worst area in Springfield, Massachusetts you could find. It was a horrible place of drugs, prostitution, and bar rooms. I'm thinking to myself, what in God's name am I doing here? But I had no choice. It was like God motivating. Preaching and what? Praying. Praying and preaching. And I wonder in my life if there aren't some things that would just go. They would just go if I would just give myself to preaching and praying. The simplicity. I know there's one thing I can do when I'm 100 years old if I can't walk. Right? I can't do anything. I can always pray. And I can always tell somebody Jesus loves them. Even if that's all I remember. That's it. Preaching and praying. But see, Satan, who was so sophisticated in 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4, along with Ephesians 6:10 through 18, with such a sophisticated plan, knows exactly what he's doing. He wants to stop the mouths. Stop the mouths, okay? Stop the mouths. One time, one of my parents duct taped my mouth. I wouldn't stop. So they said, they came in with a roll and said, I said, not my hands too, okay? But he wants to stop people's mouths. Don't talk about God and don't talk to God. All right? Don't talk about him and don't talk to him. Just keep your mouth shut. Really? And simply God just says, open your mouth and I will what? I will fill it. And it's incredible. And so God, through the love of God and the foundation of love, the foundation of preaching is we love people. God loves us and he loves people and we love people. And it's compassion that makes a difference. And then in prayer, I want to speak to somebody who loves me. He loves me. So let's have an amazing summer this year. Amen? Amen. We're starting on Tuesday night. Right here, Tuesday night. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be a great time. You say, well, I'm not so sure about You know, I've never gone out. I've never evangelized. Well, it was all of us. One time we all were there. Okay, Pastor Steve, I'm going to show you like a simple, this is just a simple way. Pastor Steve is a Baltimorean crab eater. I didn't say crabby, I said a crab eater. And I'm just walking out, I'm walking down the street around, knocking on his door. How you doing?
What do you want?
I don't need anything, actually. I would just like to tell you how much God loves you and give you a gospel tract and how God cares for your life. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you're going to do, what you will do, but God cares for you, and it's just a simple message. Understanding true love. Isn't that great?
It's great.
Wow. You're interested, huh?
Maybe?
Yeah. You mean you're not interested in being loved?
I can take it or leave it.
You can take it or leave it, huh? Really? Is that because the way you've been loved your whole life probably left you like at a point that like there was no fulfillment?
Somebody stole my trash can. So
I don't worry about your trash can. I'll get you a new one. I'll buy you a new trash can. No, but God really cares about you. And I know you've been eating crabs today. And I know you're definitely not crabby. You're okay. But God cares for you. And I'm not about church. I'm preaching about Jesus Christ who loves you. A lot of people will come, they want you to join this and join that and do this and do that and do the, you know, get baptized or whatever it means, give money, whatever. No, I'm just saying God wants to join you. He cares about you. That sounds a great message, isn't it?
You're one of those witnesses.
No. Okay. You notice I don't have a suit coat on.
Well, I do. Now you do.
I don't have a black bag. It's over there.
Okay. All right.
No. Those people are, I don't know much about
them. All
right,
I'll listen.
You're gonna listen to me.
I'm going to listen, yeah.
Think about it. God paid for our sins. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
God paid.
How did he do that?
His blood. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And that's incredible. And that blood has the power to deliver me from sin. And I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I sin. So God is holy. I'm a sinner. How does a sinner get to a holy God? It's impossible. It's impossible. Let me tell you a story. One time I was evangelizing a guy in a mosque. I went into a mosque, right? I did. This actually happened. And I said to him, I noticed that as you prepare for your service in your temple here, your mosque, that you washed your hands and your feet and your teeth, and you know, you washed everything, okay? Could I ask you a question? How'd you wash your heart?
It's a good question.
He said to me, what? I said, how do you wash your heart?
You're going to tell me, right?
He gives you a new one. Mm-hmm. Yes, but really, maybe you haven't been to church, or maybe you've been to church and it hasn't worked, but God loves you. Never forget that. Whether you come or you do not come, it doesn't make a difference to me. I just want you to know God cares for your life. He cares for you. He gave his life for your life personally. Isn't that a great message? Understanding, what does it say?
True love.
True love. Understanding true love. It's amazing. Thank you and hope to see you. If not,
right.
Jesus Christ in your life, you can ask him in at any point in life, any time at all. Just, it's a simple decision of the will. Yes, a simple decision. Yes, I want Christ. Yes, I want to be forgiven. Yes, I know that he cares for my life. He really does. Thank you. And just thank him. So you have a great day. The track's on me. Amen. Some people don't even want to open the door. Some people are just going to be very quick. And we also learn how to say something within about 30 seconds. I get the message in 30 seconds. Just like that. So let's spend the summer. Let's believe God this summer. And not even just on the outreaches. But remember Pastor Shalala said this morning, you have a couple gospel tracts with you. God, how many of you think God would answer this prayer? Amen. Oh, Father, I come to you today. Would you give me one person this week? No. No, I'm not interested in your prayer. No. I mean, God's going to answer that prayer. He's going to open up a door and answer that prayer. I prayed that prayer one time, and I went to get my van fixed in, I don't know, someplace up the road there, up, I don't know. Yeah, 95, something like that. And I was sitting next to a guy. He was getting his car fixed, and the Holy Spirit was really, really sincerely, you know, kind of working on me to speak to him. And I totally said no. No, I didn't want to. It was sin. So he left, and I left, and I was getting my van fixed. He was getting his van fixed. So all the way back down here to the plaza, when this is when Newberry's was here, all the way back down here, I just said, God, forgive me. I have sinned. I'm disobedient. I don't even know how you could ever use me. But God, help me and be merciful. I pulled in front of Newberry's. Who do you think is there? The same guy. The same guy. I said, excuse me. I said, I got to tell you something. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. And I wanted to tell you about Christ, and I didn't. And I really failed, and I've sinned. He said to me, brother, I'm a backslidden Christian. Thank you. I said, backslider, me backslider. You know what? God, give me opportunities. Great and effectual door. Yes, there's adversaries, but give me an opportunity. Praying and preaching. Preaching and praying. So we're going to spend a little time in prayer before we close. So let's just stand and just pray. You can go to somebody. Let's just pray for souls in Maryland and in Baltimore, specifically for the summer outreaches. If you'd stand with me. Father, thank you tonight. We come to you, God, for you love people. We don't always love people. Sometimes we just love ourselves and are concerned about ourselves, but we pray, God, help us. Help us, God. We're asking, make us fishers of men. You said it in Luke chapter 5, I will make you a fisher of men. I cannot make myself a soul winner. It's going to take God to do it. I've got to say yes to let him. God, make me a soul winner. I can't take anything out of this world except for a soul is saved. Nothing here is going to go there. Nothing. Except for the converted soul that we introduced him to Christ, her to Christ. God, help us, God. Make us soul winners. Give us opportunities. There's a woman at a well. There's somebody in an office, an elevator, at a grocery store, at Aldi's, at a CVS, at a playground where I'm taking my children to play during the summer. There's somebody there. Somebody there ordained of God. You're not there just to bring your kids to the playground or to buy food in the store. We are there, and we pray, God, help us. Help us. Open my eyes, Paul said. Oh, enlighten my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. This is our prayer tonight. This is our prayer tonight. This is June, God. We want to see people receive Christ, born again, come to church, much people added, and much people taught. It's not through sophisticated methods. It's not through intellectual reasonings, but it's God speaking to people. Jesus, hear our cry. Give us souls. John Knox prayed as he was in Scotland, give me souls or I die. Give me souls. Give me people that will listen. Love me and take away any fear, any doubt. Every one of you here tonight, every one of us are great soul winners. Say that. I'm a great soul winner. I'm a great soul winner because I have great grace upon me. Don't believe a lie from the enemy. You can't do it. Oh, I've never done it and I can't do it. No, we're not listening to that. We're not receiving that. We're not believing that. We're paying no attention to that. We believe God tonight. You'll make us people, communicators to God and to people, talking to people and talking to God. Give us a summer like never before. Never before. Unusual, unique, exciting, explosive, powerful. Give us wisdom, God. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. We need wisdom to speak to people. What we say, how we say it, when we say it, where we say it. Give us wisdom, God. Please help us. Why wouldn't you help us? You love people. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. How much does God care for souls? He gave the one, the only one, his Son, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to give him the message of his life and his love, his sacrifice, the free gift. It's a free gift, saved by grace. What a message we have. It's nothing more that I can do because Jesus did it all. Thank you. Open our mouths, God. Give us opportunities on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all summer long. Open doors. We believe you tonight. Lift your hands to him. I believe you, God. Say, I believe you. Everyone bring one. I want to bring a person to church. Bring a person to Christ. Bring a person to church. Yes, with God all things are possible. The newest believer, Mark chapter 5, he got saved and he went to 10 cities. John chapter 4, born again at a well and come see a man, she said. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us. Fill that Tuesday night meeting up. The outreach meeting, Thursday nights, every Tuesday and Thursday, Saturdays. God, teach us to pray as we pray tonight. From 8:30 to 9:30, God, lead us in prayer. Send angels throughout the city of Baltimore. Divine appointments. Drive out demons, God. Show drug addicts they can be delivered by the blood. Alcoholics. People abusing children. Good people. People with money. Poor people. People of every race, of every age. God, hear our prayers tonight. Hear our prayers tonight, God. And this summer, 7 prayer meetings a week. God, we pray. Thank you. Some people have even praying from their homes. They can't get here. It's okay. Join us in prayer. Sunday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday afternoon. Thank you, God. Praise him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you because you will equip us to be people who pray and people who preach. And that's why we praise you. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit's life, the Holy Spirit's power. So thank you. Thank you and praise you. So close with this song in Jesus' name. Amen.